Welcome to A Closer Look. I'm Dennis O'Hare.
And I'm Rose Scott. The fight over what sponsors call religious freedom legislation did not end when the bill stalled in the legislature a few weeks ago. Well, it continued this past weekend at the Republican State Convention in Athens, Georgia. Delegates passed a resolution urging GOP lawmakers to pass the bill without an amendment that would say the bill is not intended to discriminate against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people.
Well, to recap very quickly, the bill says that government shall not put a substantial burden on a person's exercise of religion, even if that burden comes from a rule that normally would apply to everybody. Critics have argued that opens the door for businesses to discriminate. Jim Galloway is the political columnist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He joins us now. And Jim, welcome back to A Closer Look.
Glad to be here, Dennis.
Okay, right after the GOP convention passed this resolution without debate, and you were there for that, Governor Deal backed down a little from his earlier insistence that that anti-discrimination language be in there. So how much of a retreat was this, though?
You know, I'm not sure whether it was just a tactical evasion. I think we'll know more after the Supreme Court issues its ruling on gay marriage, and when we get into the fall as preparations start for next year's legislative session. But I'd like to go back to that to the Saturday session of the state GOP convention.
Sure.
Because what happened was you could feel a very distinct separation between the mass of delegates who are GOP activists. They tend to be a lot more conservative than your average GOP primary voter, and the elected officials. You had the religious liberty bill was passed without a debate. Not a word spoken for or against it. What they did was they lumped it in with several other policy statements, like the denial of driver's licenses to illegal immigrants offered temporary sanctuary by the Obama administration, or the push for an elected state school board, or changes to the high school's advanced placement U.S. history course. All of those were issues that have just stalled cold in the legislature, and yet when it came to, say, Governor Nathan Deal going up on the stage, or House Speaker David Ralston, or Casey Cagle, none of those issues were mentioned, not one.
Hmm. So this is basically some of the real hardcore in the party, the people who really get involved day to day, sending a message to their elected leaders. Look, if you want to go ahead, if you want us to really get behind you, perhaps in 2016, you'll do what we say. But in a Republican state, can the leaders sort of say, "Well, we've got the rest of the electorate anyway"?
This is exactly. This is the problem with a Big Ten GOP, is that original faction, the hardcore faction, doesn't carry as much weight. And it might have been sending a message. Exactly, yes. But they might have been sending them a message. I think it was more of a cry of frustration.
Hmm.
Jim, you talked about some of the hardcore, proponents of this, but now there's one key supporter of the anti-discrimination amendment. That's Mike Jacobs of DeKalb County. Now, he's been appointed to a judgeship, so he won't be there when this fight resumes next January. Will that make a difference?
It could, but I will tell you, he represents, I'm not going to get the district number right, so I won't call it, but he represents the Brookhaven area. And his district is probably the third most liberal Republican area there is. So chances are that whoever replaces him in the July 14th special election and the runoff is likely to happen, probably will follow that same line. But the key question is whether who replaces Mike Jacobs on the Judiciary Committee. That's the key question.
That's true too. Now, will we see any other key GOP leaders then give ground on the anti-discrimination language? I mean, we know what Governor Deal's repositioning is, but could there be somebody else?
I still think what you're going to see in October or November, I think you're going to see the governor kind of summon all the parties involved in this thing and see if they can find some language that satisfies the business community and the Josh McCoons in the legislature.
While they were endorsing the bill as is without the anti-discrimination language, the delegates at the same time were electing Mansell McCord, who's openly gay, as the party's state treasurer. So were the delegates even aware that he is openly gay when they voted for him?
Yes, he is the first openly gay statewide party official ever elected by the GOP, openly gay. And if you're a Fulton County Republican, of course you knew.
Well, that's his home base.
Yes, that's his home base. And Mansell's been he's a very, very active but very private fellow. But I would imagine there were, I think, 1,500 voting delegates there. I don't think a majority of them knew that he was gay. I think that came as something of a surprise.
But he did have the very vocal support of Josh McCune, the senator who also
exactly.
is the sponsor of the RFRA bill, the Religious Liberty bill.
This was, I think, you know, no one will admit it. I think there was some engineering here to soften the GOP's image, because the religious liberty fight has definitely turned off a lot of younger voters that Republicans will need in years to come. The gay marriage issue, even among young Republicans, doesn't cut. It doesn't bother them. And I think this was, I talked to Senator McCune afterwards, and he says this was a message that needed to be sent. And this is a fellow who's been pretty battered by the gay and lesbian community in Georgia.
Well, Jim, that was my next question. You call it engineering. I mean, one could say that this was an election as an attempt to show that the party isn't about discrimination against gays, but is it enough to lure?
Well, I think it highlights a split. I think you've got a faction of the Republican Party that still, you know, that's, I mean, who have their roots in the 1980s religious conservative movement within the GOP that really brought the Georgia Republican Party to power. But then you have the younger, the libertarians on one side, and say maybe the elder statesmen on the other, joining with the elder statesmen of the Republican Party, who realize that if they're to protect the future of their ruling power, they've got to move on this issue.
And you mentioned a couple of the other areas where that might happen. For instance, you talked about immigration and the move to deny driver's licenses to folks who are here illegally but who have been given a break under President Obama's executive orders. Is that a battle that's going to continue to fester in the party as we move into this election year and the Georgia presidential primary, for instance, and not to oversimplify, but the business conservatives versus some of the social and religious conservatives?
I think so, and I think it'll be exacerbated by whatever presidential primary campaign we have here in Georgia. Of course, you had
some contenders there.
Yes, we saw Marco Rubio, we saw Ted Cruz, Chris Christie, all of them. I mean, Marco Rubio, of course, had tried to find a solution to the immigration dilemma and was beaten back last year or the year before, and has really been shy about touching it again. Ted Cruz is very much about border protection, and so I think there are going to be appeals to both sides of the immigration reform.
Jim, we continue to hear that the GOP has to find new ways, new initiatives, new messaging to the minority population. At the convention, did we even hear of any of that at all?
Actually, you did. And that's John Padgett was narrowly elected, reelected as chairman, and one of his big programs has been minority recruitment. And one of the big occasions at the 2-day convention was a celebration of that. And Ted Cruz just jumped in impromptu and riffed on that whole topic before, maybe 300 or 400 people in the room.
You said a celebration of that. What exactly?
Well, what to celebrate? Well, what to celebrate is that according to polls, but Republicans are claiming that they doubled Nathan Deal's African American share of the vote in this last election.
Jim, really quickly, we need a short answer to this if possible. One recent poll showed that Mike Huckabee was the leading candidate here in Georgia, again, very early. But he's now bypassing the summer straw poll in Iowa amid speculation he's having money trouble. Any nervousness among Huckabee supporters here in Georgia about his chances, and is the party starting to look perhaps elsewhere?
Well, he won Georgia two cycles ago in the 2008 yeah. cycle, and there are some of those originals supporters are still with him, like Sam Teasley, a state rep out of Marietta, but a lot of other supporters have moved on, and drifting over to Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz. So you're going to see Huckabee here, but it's not going to be a gimme election for him.
So Georgia, among Republicans, when it comes to that presidential race, is wide open right now.
Absolutely.
Jim Galloway, political columnist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can catch his column in the paper or at myajc.com. Jim, thanks so much as always.
Thanks, Jim.
Enjoyed it.
Have a great weekend.
All right.